This is episode 7 of Outlander Cast with Mary and Blake.
People disappear all the time. Most are found. Eventually. Disappearances, after all, have explanations. Usually.
Outlander Cast with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars.
Sing me a song of a lass that is gone, say for that lass be I. Mary of Soul, she sailed on a day over the sea to.
Hello, everyone. I am your host, Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I can finally tell the difference between Angus, Rupert, and Murtaugh.
Hey, it only took to episode 5. You know, we're getting somewhere.
I knew I would be able to get it eventually.
I am proud of you. I really am.
Rupert's the fat one. Angus is the one without the teeth. And Murtaugh is the one that's kind of serious.
Very serious.
Got these eyebrows that would make, like, Kim Kardashian jealous.
I didn't know Kim Kardashian loved eyebrows.
She's got big eyebrows.
I think a lot of big eyebrows are in right now.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're back. Thank God, because I have big eyebrows.
I got big eyebrows, too.
I know.
I have the unibrow.
You do.
And, you know, I don't know. Should I get them? What's that thing that...
We tried to get them threaded, and you cried like a little baby.
Oh, my God. It was like... Remember, ever see that movie 40-Year-Old Virgin for you listeners?
With
Steve Carell?
Yes.
Yeah, that was basically me when he was getting his chest waxed. Yeah, that was me when I was getting my eyebrows threaded that one time. It was awful. And it was like Satan came down and bestowed all that punishment upon me.
Yeah, Blake was a baby. And speaking about Blake being a baby, we really appreciate everyone's kind words. Blake was sick last night and yesterday and the day before. So it was not a nice day in the Larson household.
I would not wish that upon anybody ever. And I have not been that sick in probably over a decade. So, guys, thank you so, so much for all those kind words. If I sound a little funky today, that's because my throat is still really, really sore, and I'm suffering.
So. I am not a Mr. Speechum. Today, no. Blake's medicine that I gave him was a hot toddy.
It actually worked wonders.
I'm glad. Well, before we dive into this week's episode, we wanted to give you a little bit of feedback. I know that we dedicated an entire episode last week based upon listener feedback, but there were 3 extra things on our website that we wanted to just give a shout out to. Dina Hervey said that Jamie is gorgeous, built. She agrees. But Claire is the one putting it all out there, trying not to get killed by both the Scots and the English, having to mend every person that she comes into contact with. This is all thanks to Uncle Lamb. That's why she adapts so well to her surroundings. Deanna says that she would nut up with no underwear, no toothbrush, no deodorant, and most importantly, no pink razor. All that sets Claire apart from the average modern woman of 1945, or even today's woman. You go, girl. And yes, Deanna just went there.
Jill Baird says, thank you for referring to Mrs. Fitz's hair. When she first came on the screen with her hair all done up for the gathering, the first thing I thought of was the Bride of Frankenstein. It wasn't as big, but it was still some crazy hair.
And Deanna also wanted to say that she's trying to create a hashtag for hashtag adorable Angus. We already know that we were talking with Emily last week about no teeth, no problem. But
I still laugh at that one every day.
I'm going to put it out there. There was a lot of loving on Angus last week, but this week, the times might have changed. Let's get into this week's episode recap of Rent. This episode started with Claire, whose hair has gotten much longer, by the way. I don't know if anyone else has noticed that.
It's got a lot curlier, too.
Yeah, it's just the length, but she's reciting a poem by John Donne. And it starts off with the word absence. How did you feel about this little bit? It was interesting to have her saying a poem and just kind of looking at it. It was a gorgeous, gorgeous shot.
I felt like she was the one that was experiencing the absence. She was experiencing the absence from all of her time. She's got that from Frank. She is having a hard time coming to grips with the fact that she is now really stuck in 1743.
She's taking this really well. I feel like many people would have just kind of fallen into a real rut of depression. And instead, while she's saying this, she makes a new friend, Ned.
Ned is...
He's Benjamin Franklin, basically, of 17.
That's what he looks like, right?
Yeah, of Scotland. He really did. He looked like him so much. Poor guy has asthma, though.
Yeah, until she gives him something to smoke. What was that? The apple?
Thorn apple.
There you go.
I'm surprised she didn't say, like, do you have a hookah? Because I'm going to get you some apple-flavored hookah. That's what it sounded like.
That's the only thing that Mary's ever smoked, by the way. Just a hookah.
Non-illegal hookah at like the local restaurant.
She's never smoked weed. She's never smoked cigarettes. And she's never done any of that. Just hookah.
You know, I try to be a law-abiding citizen in Rhode Island. Well, this is where Claire learns about the rent. And good old smart Ned, he's along for the ride because he wanted to put his knowledge and abilities to good use, but he didn't want to give up on adventure. You know, he was a bookman from Edinburgh, and Claire really seems to like him. He just has no idea that she's a time traveler.
I think that Claire likes him because he's actually somebody that she feels like she could speak with.
And he brushes his hair. All of those guys in the camp, they have nasty hair. They do not brush it.
How about Perfect Jamie? Does he have nice hair?
Perfect Jamie luckily has nice hair because his hair is still short.
Yeah.
That's why he gets away with it. Because I honestly don't think Jamie would be brushing his hair if he was on the road and his hair was long.
And this guy, you know, he seems smart. He seems like he knows what he's talking about. And clearly he has a great relationship with Dougal, since Dougal's the only, well, only trusts Ned Gowan with the money.
Yeah, and Ned's actually been with the Mackenzie clan, he said, since Jacob, their father.
The Colum's father?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, God, that must go back at least, what, 30, 40 years?
I don't know, a very long time. He's been there for a while, and he still loves the adventure. So Angus ends up bringing Claire. Angus, God, I'm just not a fan of Angus in this episode, and I think a lot of people feel this way. Quite rude. They're on the road, and he brings Claire some food, and this is when Claire says that she hates listening to the guys make jokes or talk, because it's one thing if they're being lewd. Like, she doesn't care, and she doesn't care that the food is disgusting. But what she cares about is when the guys are being guys, and they're talking in Gaelic.
Yeah, well, okay. I can see why she'd be upset about this. They are definitely excluding her by speaking Gaelic. But this is guys being guys. This is literally how guys are, in my opinion.
Oh my gosh, the joke. I didn't catch the joke that Dougal made the first time around, but I caught it the second time around. And it was about some woman asking her husband, how do you like my breasts? And he says, I could suck on them for all time, or something like that. And then years later, when she's old, she asks him, how do you like my breasts? And he says, I guess I sucked on them a long time. Meaning that they're like down to her knees.
Meaning that he said that, oh, I guess I've done my job.
Oh, that's what it was. Goodness me. Wow.
It was
but
great.
Once again, boys being boys. And that means when they're talking about Claire, it's completely inappropriate. Something she would not want to hear.
Yeah, well, the guys do that. I'm telling you. I know a lot of women listen to this podcast, but I'm literally going to say this. Guys, when they get together, tell bad sick jokes, and they make fun of each other. They wrestle. They fight each other. That's what guys do. And it was great to actually get this perspective on the show, because we've been following Claire this whole time, and everything's kind of neat and perfect around Claire. It's guys interacting with Claire. And now we're finally on the road, and you get a chance to see these guys interacting in their own environment.
You see the guys be guys. One thing that was really interesting in this shot, as they're talking in Gaelic, Angus touches his undercarriage area in a manner, and everyone's laughing. You don't get to see shots of Jamie. You see like the tuft of his hair, but they really carefully made sure you couldn't see if he was laughing along with them.
Yeah, do you think that it's just because Jamie's above all that?
No, like the shot didn't show Jamie, is what I'm saying. So we don't know what Jamie's reaction was. We don't know if Jamie was laughing along or if he was not finding it funny because he likes Claire. So I just thought that was really interesting that the director chose not to show Jamie's reaction to these jokes.
So do you think they were speaking about Claire at that very time?
Oh, yeah. They were. Oh, because they were saying it in Gaelic. They have no problem talking perversely in front of her. But when it's about her, they talk in Gaelic.
Oh, okay. All right. I got you on that one. See, I didn't take it like that. I took it like they were speaking Gaelic because that was the language that they knew and they didn't want her in the conversation.
Oh, they spoke English perfectly fine. That's what she said makes her uncomfortable, is that when she knows that they're talking about her because they're not speaking in English.
Oh, okay. All right. I understand now.
And that's when Jamie comes up and ends up telling her that Angus hates everyone and not take it personally. And Claire says, they think I'm a spy. Do you think I'm a spy? And Jamie tells her, he's like, I don't think you're a spy, but I don't think you're being very honest with us. And, you know, you were trying to run away, and I can tell that you're still thinking about running away. And Claire gets miffed.
Why?
Because Claire's just so funny. I think Claire sits there thinking, like, no one knows that I think about Frank and have my 1940s music running through my head. No one knows that I'm still trying to get away. And there's Jamie being like, girlfriend, I caught you trying to run away before. And it's pretty darn obvious you hate it here and that you're trying to run away again.
I love when she walks away all pissed off. He's like, hey, you asked. What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah. Like, what's wrong with you, moody Claire? You're just as moody as Angus.
And I like this first. Well, actually, first, I didn't really take Angus as like a character that was pissed off at everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that he was kind of funny. He was goofy. And when Jamie said to Claire, about how Angus like hates everybody, I didn't really see that in the previous episodes. So is that something that, you know, like where we are just supposed to understand? Or is that something that they just kind of threw at us now, do you think?
I don't, to be honest, I'm feeling like they've just thrown it at us. I'm going to take it as Angus needs 8 hours of sleep every night on a good bed. I mean, he's like me. I need a lot of sleep. And if I don't have a lot of sleep, I'm cranky. So he's probably not sleeping well on the road. And he's being a little rude and cranky. Because when he was at Castle Leoc and he had a bed, he was pretty funny and nice.
I wonder if he's just getting sick of watching over Claire.
That might be it. He is done being a babysitter. He just wants to be with his bros.
Yeah, he wants to hang out with Rupert and drink some port and some Rhenish. Who wouldn't, right?
Is that Spanish?
No, that's the sedative.
So I liked that we got to see the boys' perspective. You know, it was really cool, as you said, to see the guys be the guys. What I didn't like is what girls have to do in 1743, which is make the wool hold on to the dye with their hot piss. If I had to travel in time, I would not only say, please bring me somewhere where it's beautiful, but please make me a boy. Because I would much rather be sitting around the fire eating chicken or whatever it was that I caught and laughing and telling jokes than having to slosh my hands in hot pee. Like, did you see those girls like literally like swooshing it off the table and just getting it all over themselves?
It was like spraying all over them and like getting in their mouth.
When did Claire wash her hands? Because if she waited to wash her hands until the very end of the episode... Oh, no, that wasn't the very end. She did go wash her hands, like, another time. So we've at least seen her, like, wash up twice.
You know they don't have Purell, you know? Like, ugh.
Gross. But gross, Claire. You need to leave. I know you're drunk with Angus, but you need to be like, Angus, I'm Sassenach wasted and I need Purell. Where's an antiseptic?
You know, I know everybody has been hating on Angus for this episode, and I get why that's happening, but I don't necessarily agree with everybody's assessment of Angus.
Why not?
Because I feel like Angus is a man that's completely dedicated to his cause, whether it be for the Stuart Kings or just alone for the Mackenzies. And whatever the Mackenzies say or do, he is 100% behind it. And who is this girl, Claire, who is English, by the way, to come and judge them about what they're doing when she clearly has no idea what's happening?
It's tough because everything that Claire observes, I mean, when she's in that town, for example, and she sees Ned pocketing some money and she sees how this is all going down and she doesn't understand Gaelic, so she doesn't hear their deep, dark secrets that they're, you know, Jacobites pretty much. She's not onto it.
Well, what I'm saying is this. This is, again, Claire going out and getting her nose into stuff that she should not, number one, but also, two, stop talking.
Well, Angus got mad at her, and all she was doing was trying to make some girlfriends. She's lonely. She's on the road, and she's stuck with all these men. These girls were giving her some really good alcohol.
Well, you saw that she made him look like an idiot in front of Dougal. He's like, how hard is it to keep this girl under your wrap? Like, how hard can it be?
I loved when he was pulling her out of the house. Well, first off, he catches her while she's about to pee. That's embarrassing.
Yee.
And he's pulling her out of the house, and he's like, what were you doing in there? And she's saying, I'm not done. And it reminded me of the scene in Harry Potter.
You're a wizard, Harry.
It's the first one, Sorcerer's Stone. And he's being dragged back into the house after there was that incident at the zoo and the glass was there. And he's being dragged inside, and he goes, It was like the glass was there one moment, and then it was gone the next. It was like magic. And that's what it looked like as Claire is being, you know, dragged out by Angus. I felt like she was going to stop and be like, I was playing with the piss, and we were having lovely drinks together. It was like magic. But she didn't say that.
I was playing with the piss.
And she feels... that. Thank you. Anyway, okay. So we're done with singing that song with the pee. And she comes out and she tries to take this goat, whatever.
Sing the song about the pee. Sorry.
That was what they were doing. I'm telling you.
It's the pee song.
She's fighting with Angus and Rupert because she wants to give the goat back. The baby's going to starve, Dougal. Bah, 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 bah. But this all, the whole reason behind this scene with the goat is so that she causes a bit of a ruckus in the area so that a red coat can see her. But Blake and I, when we first saw this, we were like, who is this guy? Is he the blacksmith? He had like a little apron on. He had some serious boots. So we figured maybe he's wearing some heat protection. And he had nicely combed hair, however, and he had a British accent. And I turned to Blake and I was like, who is this guy? Is he Gaston?
What?
No one fights like Gaston. You know, from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I do know. Yes.
He looked like Gaston. He was like, are you okay? Are you all right, miss? You know, it kind of heroic like. And what did you think of Claire's reaction when she was looking at him?
I think she was looking at him like, what? Like, she knew that he was English, obviously, because you could tell by the accent.
Yeah.
And she's probably sitting there saying, okay, who is he? What is he doing here? And why all of a sudden has he decided to stick up for my honor or whatever and figure out, like, okay, is this person in trouble? Why is he doing this? And I wonder if she really sat there and said, I think I am in trouble. I wonder if she really wanted to say that.
I think she was giving him the eyes. You know when you're trying to have someone mind read and you look at them and you think, maybe if I think really, really hard and I look at you, maybe I can speak to you with my mind.
You know, it's like when the cops come up to you and they say, are you in distress? Or are you in trouble? And like, if someone's like holding a gun to your head and you can't say anything, and the cop's like, blink twice if you're in trouble.
Oh, I was taking it more as Professor X from X-Men. Like, I was picturing more of that kind of thing where she was trying to like be like him.
To mind meld it?
Yeah.
Oh, but that's actually Spock from Star Trek, not Professor X. Sorry.
Whatever.
it's all the same.
We still got it. But you know why the English soldier decides not to do anything? Because all he does is look around and he sees all these Scots touching their swords.
He's got a bunch of angry Scots around him. I don't blame him. He probably knew he could fight. He lived to fight another day. Now, this is the thing that I wonder. Is this guy, like, undercover? Because he's not doing a very good job, number one.
I think he stopped to get some water, food.
Is he, like, on a work release program or something?
No,
or?
He was probably just... I mean, we see him later on with the rest of his buddies.
Oh, yeah, sure. But, like, he was there with the big apron. And looked like he was doing something at this little village.
Here's what I think. I think his horse, like, lost a hoof or something. And he was stopping because it looked like he was going to a shack where they work.
Okay,
on stuff.
All right, let's just, I'm going to stop
I
you
really
there.
Think
I'm going to hold on. I'm going to stop okay. you there because horses don't lose hoofs.
those are their feet. What is the horseshoe? Maybe it had like a horseshoe or some kind of a problem or he needed to fix something because he was definitely wearing a worker's apron.
Yeah, I felt like he was doing something there.
Yeah, I don't think he was helping people. I think he stopped. He was just doing a routine checkup and he was like, while I'm here, guys, I need to get something fixed. It's like when you go and you're out for a drive and you're like, crap, I really need an oil change. And luckily, there's oil change places everywhere. so I'll just stop at this one and let them do my oil change.
They have a hoof change place.
Yeah, I think he was just getting some work done.
Oh, you didn't lose the hoof. Oh, my God. Look, if this guy was undercover, he did a bad job, because all of a sudden he goes back in his little tent and he puts that red coat on in the friggin' open light of day.
I don't think he was undercover, though. It's not like they're going to do anything to him because he is a red coat. I mean, Jamie would have hid.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, I mean, he left. They stayed in that town and they went all out to drink at the pub that night. Mm. I really think he was just passing by. Okay. I don't think he was hiding.
And this, again, another thing of Claire, just, dude, stop talking. Stop getting yourself involved in stuff. Stop trying to make a statement. Like, oh, with the goat, untying the goat, and, oh, this person needs to eat.
You know, the baby. It's not just a person. Well, it's a baby.
You know what? The baby needs to eat.
Like, she had a good point there. The baby did need to eat.
It doesn't matter. And you know what? Dougal was right. This is for rent. It's fair and square. That's it. That's payment. I'm sorry. That's how it goes.
They need a wet nurse in that town.
They need like 6 wet nurses, apparently.
Oh, there's a lot of babies.
Well, everyone's too busy messing with piss.
Oh, that's probably why. The guys come home from work and they're like, I do not want to make babies with you. You smell like pee.
And I love when Angus was like, you're drunk and you smell like piss. And she's like, that's the pot calling the kettle black.
Which he probably had no idea what that meant. So cute.
He's like, is that Spanish? You know?
I loved all the guys when they were in the pub and they're just hanging out. We know what they're doing. They're trying to fight for a good cause, and yet Claire's sitting there being all misjudgy,
mm-hmm.
thinking that they're stealing from these people, who knows what. But then Dougal does something that I don't really agree with. He rips Jamie's shirt off to kind of get the pity vote, to say, hey everyone, look at what the English did to my nephew's back. And everyone, oh my God, here, we'll give you some money. But all Claire sees and knows is that Jamie got really upset. Then she's asked to sew up his shirt. And truth be told, Claire was probably not a good sewer. So she's like, no, I'm not going to sew his shirt. And so Jamie says, I'll sew my own shirt. And he trounces off. And I don't know. His shirt looked pretty darn well sewed.
It was almost like he had a brand new shirt.
Yeah. I mean, especially if it kept getting ripped like every single week or every single trip.
I think we'd be torn to shreds by then.
Yeah. Like, I know. I had a blankie when I was a kid. And by the end of like my fifth year of age, blankie was just a couple of threads. And my mom's re-sewed blankie over and over again. So Jamie must be getting new shirts. Who knows?
So, but you know what? I don't blame Dougal for doing this either, because guy's trying to get some money. And he's also trying to spread the hate. And what better to do than to show what the British did to Jamie?
Can you clarify a little bit for us? Why do Dougal and the rest of his clan, what do they have against the English?
They are trying to support what is they eventually allude to, which is the Jacobite Revolution.
Just fill us in. Give us like the Cliff Notes version.
All right, Cliff Notes version. Here we go. I think we should have like another podcast specifically about the Jacobite Revolution. What do you think?
I think that is brilliant.
Okay, so all right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a brief description of what's happening here, and then we're going to have another podcast. Ooh, maybe a bonus episode this week about specifically the Jacobite Revolution. Sound good?
Especially if you can somehow tie it in to this yes vote that is supposedly coming up, because I'm also confused about that.
Well, you know what? We're gonna do that for the bonus episode.
Okay. All right, everyone. I'm really sorry if you're offended and that hurts your feelings that I don't understand this much. But Blake's going to fill me in.
All right. Quick Cliff Notes version of the Jacobite Revolution. There was as Frank says later on in the episode, yes, there are a number of Jacobite revolutions. Okay, so what is the Jacobite Revolution? Well, the Jacobites were Scottish or people who supported King James II. Who's King James II? Well, he was originally a king in England who was a Catholic king. Now, he was overthrown in the Glorious Revolution in England. From there, at that point, it was made a law that no Catholic king could hold the title of king in England.
In all of England?
Yeah, in all of England. So if you were Catholic, you could not be king. You had to be Protestant. You had to be, well, here in the United States, it's Episcopal. There, over there, it's Anglican. So
there's a lot of other Protestants here.
I know, but the official religion of England. Anglican, as created by Henry VIII. Anyway, ultimately, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get the Stuart family, the Stuart line of kings, back on the throne in England.
So is James's last name Stuart? Is that like the so he's in the Stuart family, and he's Catholic?
Yeah, it's like they have a bunch of different family names. Like King Henry VIII, his family name was Tudor.
But we'll just call him right now James Stuart, and he was Catholic. So the Scots really like him because they're like, he's Catholic. We want to vote for him.
Yes, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to get this other guy who is now part of that family line, and what they're calling him is Bonnie Prince Charlie. That's not necessarily important to our discussion right now. What's happening is this. The Scottish, in the Mackenzies, they're trying to garner support for the Stuart king, and they want to get the Stuart king back on the throne in England because he was the rightful heir, at least in their eyes, to the throne in England.
So what they're doing is they're getting money and also making people hate the English so that they can hold a revolution to try to get the Catholic king back on the throne.
Correct.
Okay, I got this.
So that's we're going to get into that a little bit more in our bonus episode, but that's what the deal is right now.
Okay, so after that crazy day of Gaelic, which Blake just translated very well, maybe that's what Dougal said. He's like... For those of you who don't know what's going on. Anyway.
He was very passionate, by the way, those speeches.
Was.
It was great. I loved it. He did a great job.
I just hated him making a... I felt like he was treating Jamie like a freak show.
I don't blame him. I really don't blame him.
I do. That is his body.
But it's all propaganda. And like Dougal says to Jamie later on in that little conversation they have in the woods, Jamie says, oh, my back is my business. And Dougal says... Not while you're traveling with me, buddy.
Gosh, Jamie needs to make his own clan and not have to listen to mean Dougal.
Graham McTavish has owned all of the episodes that he's been in so far.
Oh, he truly has.
This was another great episode with him. He owned this whole episode.
He's been owning this season. You know what else has been owning this season? Blood pudding.
Oh, God, I don't even know what that is.
That's what Ned gives Claire to cheer her up because she hasn't really been liking the food. So he's like, here, I saved you some blood pudding. That's like coagulated blood stuff from animals. It's not pudding. It is not J-E-L-L-O. It's like gelatin blood stuff.
Oh, God.
All set. They pick up and they go on their merry way to continue collecting some rent. That's really what it is. It's the same bloody thing, let's be honest. It is. And they come across this house that's being burnt down. And there's these people, and there's a lot of commotion going on. And Claire ends up finding out that there are these people who pretty much tout themselves as bodyguards, you know?
Well, they call themselves the Watch.
Yeah, we'll take care of you. We'll make sure that the English don't, you know, mess you up at all. And things didn't go too well.
Yeah, because if you don't pay us, then we're going to take all your crap and then we're going to burn your house down, especially if we find out that you're helping the British.
Bullies. Everybody's bullies.
And she's like, oh, it's extortion. And you're like, yeah, it is. But that's how it goes. And this is why Claire keeps talking. Claire, shut up. That's
I would have
all
asked the same thing because it wouldn't have made sense. And up goes Dougal. He's like, ooh. I'd like my money too, please. There we go. And I loved how Jamie rolls up in his horse, and then as he's rolling up, he just kind of turns the reins. He's like, oh, that's the Watch, because even though they're Scottish like me, those guys care more about money.
Yeah, and
they're
going to turn
me
over.
In.
Yeah, they'll turn him over to the British.
Oh, man, you know, not a good place. Nobody's really trustworthy.
Not in 1743.
Who would you trust of this cast of characters? Who would you trust right now?
Out of all of them?
Out of every single one of those guys?
Nobody. Wouldn't trust a damn thing.
Really?
Not one person. Because, first of all, I am not from that time. I don't know all the lingo. I don't know all of the politicking that's going on. I don't know a thing. So if I'm going to be in that time... I'll be nice. I'll be polite. I'm not going to say a word. I'm going to shut up, and I'm just going to go along to get along. because that's how I know I'm going to survive. Claire, however, has taken a completely different route, and she's landed herself in some trouble here. So they go on this trip for weeks and weeks, and they collect the rents, and they go through the whole rigmarole of Dougal giving the speeches and doing the tearing of Jamie's shirt off. And then all of a sudden she comes up to him and says, "I know what you're doing. The more mercy you show today, the more you collect for yourself tonight."
She thinks that he is just getting extra money for himself.
Yeah, but stop talking. You are talking to a dangerous man right now. And you think that you're untouchable. You think that because I'm a woman, nothing's going to happen to me.
Why I didn't understand why she did this is, what would she gain from, like, say if Dougal was collecting this just for himself, which we know he isn't. He's collecting it for the rebellion. But say he and his merry band were just getting extra money just for themselves. Why does Claire care? Why does Claire care about, like, ooh, I want Colm to get all of that money?
Yeah, why is she getting herself involved in business that she doesn't need to? What does it mean to her?
I mean, it's her conscience. She thinks that he's stealing from these very poor villagers, but...
But then again, he also does something that's really nice. Before she says this, Dougal, has all of the food. And one of the guys comes up and says, "Hey, the Redcoats came along and took all my stuff, and I can't even feed my family tonight." And Dougal gives the food over and says, "No, you're going to eat tonight. And then all of you are going to eat tonight. And we're going to get together and have a good time at the pub." And that's that. And that's when she says, "I know what you're doing. A penny for the lad and a pound for your pocket." Like, come on, man. Yeah.
Well, she ends up learning. She ends up finding out quite easily. Oh, gosh. There was that other scene when they found those crucified men. And they knew that those were the Redcoats. And that's when Dougal was able to start letting Jamie be. And he actually talked about what he saw there.
Exactly. Well, actually, before we get into that, I also want to... call Ned Gowan out, because right as she was saying this, about the penny for the laird, pound for your pocket, Dougal says, what is it you're accusing me of? And you could tell that there was going to be a problem, like there was going to be an issue. And Ned Gowan comes up and says, "Hey, I guess, you know, she's figured us out, and she's just who she is, and we're not as smart as we all think we are." And it was Ned's way of saying, she clearly has no idea. Just let her go along with whatever she thinks. Just let her get along with it. Because
my girlfriend's crazy.
She's just dumb. And she thinks she's smarter than everything else, all of us, but she's not. And Ned even says that to her when she says, "Oh, what would Colm think if he found out that you were stealing money from him and allowing Dougal his little take?" And he says to her, "Yeah, you've got us all figured out, haven't you?" You know, it was kind of like giving her a little bit of a jab there without her even realizing it.
Yeah, it's true.
And it was kind of a backhanded compliment, too, when he says to her, "Oh, yeah, you know, you would be a good lawyer. Too bad they don't let women practice law right now."
Yeah, it's probably going to be a couple of centuries. And there's Claire. She's like, I know what's going to happen.
And then only two more centuries. You know, like, she thinks that she's so super smart, but she ain't. No. She's really not. And she's getting herself into trouble here.
Well, she eventually learns what they're really collecting money for, and that's the revolution. And then she changes her stance with Ned, and she tries to give him a heads up. Like, listen, that revolution isn't really going to work, buddy. The British have the best army right now, and there's no way you're going to win. Ned, of course, just looks at her, and he pretty much says, "Silly old bear."
That's your opinion.
Yeah.
And you're entitled to it. I get it. But we're going to do what we're going to do.
We're going to rock this.
Okay, so let's also talk about this. Everybody thinks that she is a British spy, right?
Yes.
Okay. What way could you do any worse than to go ahead and try to spread dissent and,
fear. Like
fear.
Yeah.
Okay? That is a perfect representation of what a British spy would do.
To go in and be like, "Oh, just tell them it's not gonna work."
Yeah, it's like it's that defeatist attitude. And if you continue to do that, guess what's gonna happen? People are gonna start believing it. That's exactly what a spy would do. You're not helping your cause here, Clea.
No.
That's why she has to stop talking.
and it's not going
to
happen.
And she can't even help herself.
It's part of Claire's personality. Oh, she's just such a strong-willed woman.
I can't.
You know who can't either, though?
Who?
Jamie. I loved Jamie in this episode because he stood up to Claire.
Yes, you stole the words right out of my mouth.
He said everything that we've been saying these past few episodes. He said, stop talking.
Yes.
You don't know what you're talking about. And she said, well, things like this don't happen where I come from or where I'm from. And he says, yeah, but you're here.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you're from. You're here now.
And you need to just shut up.
You shouldn't judge what you don't understand. So stop talking.
I loved it. I loved it because maybe Jamie doesn't go along with everything. Maybe he does. We don't necessarily know. It's this big, broad topic. But he's basically telling her, you're getting yourself in trouble about things you don't even understand or know. And I get that you're not from here. But just stop talking.
And do you think he's telling her that to be nice? Or do you think he's telling her that to put her in her place?
Both. I think Jamie's fed up with her. I think he is. He is definitely has a soft spot for her. You always see whenever she's kind of in trouble or whatever. He's looking for her, but he can't save her butt. He doesn't know her. He doesn't know what her true intentions are, but he just doesn't want her to keep messing up. And he's like, girlfriend, wise up. Wise up.
Yeah, stop getting yourself into things that you have no idea about. And if you do that, these people will actually kind of respect you, I think. They'll get behind you. And she is her own worst enemy. She is her own problem. She's creating the problems that are around her at all times.
The other thing that I liked about Jamie in this episode is while they stayed in town and Claire actually had a nice little bed all to herself, she hears a noise outside, goes outside, and trips over Jamie, who was pretty much guarding her front door to make sure that none of the drunk men downstairs would take advantage of her.
Aww.
And she invites him in. She's like, listen, buddy, it's cold out there. Come on in. And Jamie has the most shocked face.
He's like, oh, sleep in your room?
What
with you?
Oh, no, oh my God.
Your reputation would be ruined.
And how cute that's his answer.
I know.
Her reputation. I mean, we all know that Claire's not a virgin. She's married.
Yep.
So how cute is he?
That's the one thing he's concerned about.
Because all of those other guys in his troop would have easily gone into bed with Claire. They joke about it in Gaelic. You know what that's what they're saying.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
They're like, oh, one night she's going to invite me in to snuggle with her and I'll snuggle with her. You know?
Oh, real quick. We didn't talk about this, but I this was an important scene. Claire comes up on Dougal and Jamie's conversation in the woods. And this is when Jamie was punching the trees.
Ouch.
You know? She asks him, why are you putting up with Dougal and all the stuff that he's doing? Ripping your shirt off, doing all that crap. And he says, well, he's my uncle. And then he follows it up saying, a man has to choose what's worth fighting for. And it feels to me like that is something that is extremely more poignant and meaningful than what it came out to be. I think it's in regards to eventually the Jacobite Revolution, number one, but also his feelings for Claire. I think he is trying to figure out what his feelings are and if it's worth going forward with, you know, and pursuing that and being at odds with Dougal about. Because Claire is putting a little bit of a stake in between Dougal and Jamie. And that stake might have already been there. But maybe she is exacerbating it. Maybe she's amplifying it. I think that's what's happening with that.
Ooh. I didn't even get that. You're so deep.
I'm wicked deep, dude.
Yeah.
Wicked deep.
Can we talk about the other love interest?
Yes.
Can we talk about Frank? I'm so happy that there was a Frank flashback in this episode.
Oh, God. I'm so team Frank. It's great. Every time I see Frank, I'm so happy.
He was just so precious. And he kind of gave Claire a little sass when he was questioning her on her history knowledge, and she just gave it right to him.
She's like, yes, actually I do know all this, thank you very much.
There was this great shot of her after she like owns Frank in history lesson. She walks away with this big smile on her face, like girls can be smart too.
And then how about finishing the scene off with looking at the Scottish flag as she's realizing, oh my God, all these people are going to die and they have no idea. I thought that was really poetic. I also think that this show is finally starting to mine some awesome territory here.
Elaborate.
Claire is now in a position where she could effectively change history. She has the opportunity to speak to a clan that is pretty high up in this opportunity to get the Stuarts back on to the throne, and then convince them that their revolution is not going to work. Now, does she continue to do this, or is this something that she just decides it's inevitable, it's going to happen? And this gets into the whole time travel logic, right?
Like, if she were to tell them, seriously, it's not going to work, and they actually believed her without her thinking she was a spy, could she have stopped the revolution? Is that what you're getting at? Or could she have changed things so that the revolution would have been done in a different way?
Exactly. And then ultimately maybe making the revolution happen and be successful. And then the Stuarts are back on the throne. And to this day, they'd be on the throne.
Gosh.
Right? It's kind of like Lost. Remember, what happens, happens. You know, spoiler alert, Ben gets shot when he's a kid. And who shoots him? Saeed, right? That always happened all the time, the whole time. No matter what, that happened. Because they went back in time, that existed. And so the same thing happens here. It gets into time travel logic. But the show, for me, this episode was pretty weak up until this point.
It reminded me, once again, I'm giving you your second Harry Potter reference.
Oh, God.
Okay, just walk with me on this.
Mm-hmm. You're a wizard, Harry.
It reminded me of the seventh movie, where Harry and Hermione are just traveling, and they're trying to figure out what the Horcrux is or where it is, and they're just traveling, and people complain. They said, gosh, the seventh movie was so boring. It was just Harry and Hermione camping, and it needed to show you time. It needed to make you understand time spent together and what they were doing. And that's what this episode is. Claire is now here for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's when she says, I'm traveling for weeks. We see that her hair has gotten longer. You can see how the relationship is with everyone, how they're very comfortable and getting on each other's nerves in like a sibling type way. You need to understand time is passing.
And this episode did more yeoman's work for the show. It's setting up the political ramifications of the show, which was absolutely necessary.
It's huge. Not everybody understands the history and why the Scots are so passionate about this cause. It also finally gave us a glimpse into a little sexual tension between Jamie and Claire. A little. When she's handing him that blanket after she invites him inside and he says, no, that will ruin your reputation. The camera held on their hands for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And there was that little, you know, almost a spark that you could see over the screen.
Yes, you could see it in their eyes. Like, you could feel it, you know. Like, it's kind of like that girl you met in college and you weren't really sure if she liked you, but you liked her. But you knew she kind of liked you, but you weren't really totally into it. And like,
I'm surprised music didn't start playing in this part, you know. I want you. I want you so bad.
And then, you know, you get the little touch and then there it is. And this is probably the beginning.
The beginning Heart. Of a beautiful relationship. Oh, that's what it is. Oh, so, God. Okay, so you got that in this episode.
Definitely got that.
And then the other big thing, at the end of this episode, Claire is washing herself, and Dougal, of course, comes to say, what's up with you? Like, why are you telling us not to have this revolution? Who are you? Who are you? Oh, and guess who shows up? Gaston. Gaston and all of his friends. And he's all dressed up nice, and he's like, looking at Dougal and looking at Claire and asking Claire once again, are you here on your own wishes, pretty much? Mm-hmm. Do you want to come with us, with your crew? Because we understand that you're Sassenach, and so are we. So why don't you come with us, little lady? Mm-hmm. And then it goes to black.
Cut to black.
What? I did not see that coming.
I did not see that coming either. This show, in my opinion, isn't built on a narrative like that. It seemed a little forced.
I think they needed to do it because every other episode has ended with a voiceover from Claire being like, I don't know what adventure comes, but I'm going to do it or die trying.
Yes, no, I agree.
So they couldn't do
you.
That anymore. They needed to change it up a little bit.
And I'm glad that they did try to change it up a little bit. It just felt odd for the series itself.
Yeah, it obviously
is a highly serialized show. I get that. But this show doesn't thrive so far on cliffhangers. But I don't know. I mean, maybe this is a direction.
But the show is just starting. You need to remember that. Yes, it made us all go, are you kidding me? But the series of events that happen from here on out need to be their own episode.
Mm-hmm, I agree. No, so, I understand. I want to go back to the conversation that she was having with Ned, Claire was having with Ned, when she says, What if I told you the odds were stacked against you? You're raising money for a war you can't win. And he says to her, well, you talk as though the future's already decided. And of course, she already knows that the future is decided. She already knows. We get that flashback with her and Frank going to the battle scene. And you see, like, the graves.
Yes, and you
It says
you
Clan
know.
Mackenzie right there.
You know that. How many people died?
2,000 people. 2,000 yeah. Scots.
Oh, my goodness.
Just died. They were charging with their swords. And they were fighting against the British with guns.
And she's looking around at the clan wondering how many of these men
yeah,
are going to be
These good men, good people.
I mean, somewhat good. She's not on good terms with Angus or Dougal right now. But
well, you know, I would also disagree with that, too. Because eventually, after all of this, who was the one who decided to defend her honor? Who came up and just gave a guy that first pound? And who was it?
It was Angus.
Damn straight it was Angus.
And he helped her after they like made up. He helped her take something off of her horse. You're right. They made up. They kissed and made up. What a funny brawl, by the way.
I know. I thought that was great.
It was like a lunchtime food fight. You know, just boys. They couldn't take it anymore. So they were making an inappropriate joke about Claire.
Mm-hmm.
And Team Mackenzie just went and beat those fellas up. And Claire,
awesome.
Once again, insert foot and mouth, here she is reprimanding them,
mm-hmm.
saying like, shame on you. This is what you get for fighting.
I've treated sixth graders more than you. You know, like,
yeah,
smarter
just really
than you.
Rude. Just really rude. And it's not until Murtaugh was like, we fought for your honor.
Yep.
And he says something about how
oh, yeah,
you know,
says,
we can make fun of
yeah,
you.
You're a guest of the Mackenzie. We can insult you, but God help any other man who does. And I was like, oh, man, Murtaugh, that's awesome.
Standing up, man.
And you know,
standing up.
That's great, too, because that in my opinion, is a total guy thing to do, too. Listen, I can make fun of you. I can make fun of you, my wife. I can have fun with you. I can talk about you, and I can make fun of all your faults. But I'm telling you this. If somebody ever decides to make fun of you in front of my face that's other than me,
you're going to go bust some knuckles.
I'm literally going to go up like Angus and shove their face into the table because you're my wife.
Aw, thank you.
And that's how they feel about her. They feel like her, like she's kind of a sister. And don't talk to my sister. Don't talk to her.
Don't do that.
You don't deserve her time, you know, and love that whole episode. I mean, that whole scene.
Okay. Well, how did you feel about the whole episode as a whole?
I actually felt this was the weakest episode.
No.
I did. I felt that this was the weakest episode.
Oh my gosh.
And let me make sure that I'm not confusing anybody. It was the weakest episode because I felt that the first half was redundant, and I also felt that it could have been condensed a little bit more. I feel like they had a really good idea. They wanted to introduce the politics of the time in this episode. I get it. But they didn't have enough story to tell for this particular episode without getting into further episodes. So they had to build it out. Now, how do we build it out? Well, we want to show some more Scottish culture with the women in the hot piss. We want to show guys being guys. We want to show them collecting rents. We want to show that time is passing and Claire is getting fed up and people are getting fed up with Claire. I get all of it. But it was too redundant. You just kept seeing that speech after speech that Dougal was giving. And yes, he did get a lot more fiery after seeing the people crucified, Roose Bolton style, the spoiler alert from Game of Thrones. Yes, you saw them out there, and he then gave this even more impassioned speech and didn't even bother using Jaime when his scarred up back. And that you saw some differences along the episode, but it didn't get interesting, in my opinion, until she realized, oh no, this is not just thievery. This is about a revolution.
I completely disagree with you.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I liked this episode a lot because it helped build the world. Mm-hmm. It helped someone like me, who didn't pay attention in history class too much, understand what people were like then, how they had to pay rent, what the mentality was, and how you would drum up interest. You didn't have Facebook to send a message and be like, hey guys, vote for the Jacobite side. They didn't have that. They had to go door to door while they're collecting rent and preach their message. And I really liked that, and it made me appreciate Dougal. If I had just seen him do one speech, I would just think he was being mean to Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me appreciate their cause and how dedicated they were to it. Because it was for so long. And you had a nice setup with Jamie and Claire. You know, had this happened in the third episode, I wouldn't have been too okay with it. I would have been like, girlfriend, you need to still be thinking about Frank. But now weeks have gone over, you know, so it's been a while. They've gotten accustomed to one another. I like that we were able to see time pass. I also think that I'm biased because as a book reader, I know that the next two episodes are going to be jam-packed.
Okay.
So it's hard for me because I see what this was doing and it expanded the world, but I also know that there's not going to be a dull moment in the next episodes.
For me, this episode finally got interesting when she is facing herself and facing this moral dilemma. Do I tell these people that they're going to lose? In fact, she says to Ned, you are going to lose. It's a fact. You have to believe me. Does she continue with that? Now, is she going to continue questioning her own self? Should I be helping these people in this way? And if what I say, does what I say have any meaning to any of these guys? Does what I say impact any of the decisions these guys make?
Who knows, Claire? So, only time is going to tell.
This was really cool. That was really cool, interesting stuff that this show is going to start mining. I think it was inevitable that it would eventually mining it. Because how could you not, especially with a girl like Claire, who can't help but talk? You can't help herself.
Well, now you're confusing me, because you said this was your least favorite episode, and now you're understanding. I think I brought you to the dark side.
No. I as I said, the first half of the episode was, to me, the weakest part.
Okay.
And then it made up for itself in the second half of the episode.
All right.
Maybe even almost two-thirds into the episode, when it finally started to get into that territory of changing history.
I gotcha.
Or getting into that moral dilemma of, do I talk to these people about this or not? And what would you do? How would you do it? So that's when it finally got interesting. They had the really cool idea, but they had to build out the idea.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's what I thought about it.
Well, enough about what you thought about it. Let's check out our listener feedback.
Let's do it. So we had our friends from Twitter, and Karen One tweets out to us, I was confused with the Gaelic, but now we know the purpose was to understand at the same time as Claire. Karen, I agree. The show wants you to get things as Claire gets them.
Ainsley Peace said that she did not expect to love Frank this much. She guesses it's all because of the amazing Tobias Menzies. She now feels Claire's pain.
Welcome to the Frank train, Ainsley. I'm so happy that you're on board with me. Brandy Sorrell tweets out, at this point, how are the Mackenzie's clan any better than the Redcoats? They're becoming what they hate.
I know.
I'm not sure if I agree with that.
You know, I'm not trusting anybody.
I don't trust anybody, but they have their ideals and they're setting something up for their revolution. And it's not like they're forcing people to give the money. They're volunteering the money. Especially after those little meetings and little speeches by Dougal. They're coming up and giving the money out.
They're still being jerks half the time, though. I can see what Brandy might be getting at. Elaine tells us the decision to cut the episode in that part was brilliant, but at the same time, a burden for us viewers.
Oh, is she talking about the ending?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's almost like a little tease, and I also feel like it's a little disingenuous. Like, if you're going to tell the story, tell the story.
Well, they don't have 3 hours, so that's what they had to do.
But would it kill you to have her answer within that episode? Like, If they said...
Then they would have just cut after that, whatever she would say.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they gave an answer, like, if she said no, to me, that's more interesting than just cutting the answer altogether.
Oh, I don't agree. I want to know, is she going to say yes or no? Is she going to run? What is she going to do?
Well, if I knew the answer, yes or no, at least that completes the story. You know, I felt like it was a little... It was a little disingenuous on the show's part, the writer's part, because it's just it's story bait. That's what it felt like to me.
I'm fine being baited.
Like, it would have been if she said no, it would have been really cool, because all I would do the entire week was sit there and say, "Holy crap,
Claire wants to stay with the Mackenzies."
Not even that, but like, holy crap! If she says no, I'm here against my will.
Oh.
What are the British going to do, right? Or if she says yes, holy crap! Now she's saying she's giving up any opportunity to leave, and now she's staying with the Mackenzies.
The power is in her hands. We had a fantastic tweet from Leghair. Leary Mackenzie herself sent us a tweet.
Thanks, Leghair. She says, "Well, I was not seen at all, but I'm glad to see that the Sassenach witch going back to her own wretched kind."
Oh, Leary is feisty on Twitter.
Leary's
My
not
goodness.
A happy person. I knew she was jealous.
Mm-hmm. Blake, you were not the only person sick last night.
No.
Amy tells us that she was watching Outlander while she was taking a lot of allergy medication. She tells us that Jamie is even cuter.
Oh.
Even cuter when you have lots of meds.
When you're high on allergy meds.
Oh, poor thing.
That a girl. And Lynn Mittman says, "I do believe an apology is in order, British/English. The show does use it similarly. So I'm sorry to have corrected you."
Oh, Lynn, don't worry.
Lynn, I get it. No problem. We all make mistakes. We're human. I get it. But I do appreciate where you were coming from. So,
and hey, we are trying to fix that. If we've ever slipped up, we want to be called on it, because we don't want to make that slip. We had some great comments on Facebook.
Dina Cox Hervey says, "I understand better the political aspect that is an undertone, but there was too much Gaelic to not have some type of subtitle, or at the very least, Murtaugh whispering to Claire what was being said."
Okay, so did you miss having Murtaugh tell her everything? I mean, because they could have had Murtaugh sit next to her during all of the conversations in the pub and say, "All right, Dougal's telling everyone that we are raising money for the Jacobite Revolution."
Yeah, no. And I don't agree with you, Deanna. I'm sorry, I don't. Because this is a point that I actually really liked. Number one, if Claire doesn't understand, you shouldn't understand. Number two, the show cannot hold your hand all the time. You have to meet it halfway. What Dougal is saying, the actual words aren't important. What matters is the emotion behind it.
And the message.
And you can infer what he's saying by what he does with Jamie and his shirt and showing the back. And you get that he's speaking about the British as soon as he tears that shirt off. And what you're looking for is the crowd's reaction.
Okay.
So the emotion behind it is what's really important, not necessarily the words.
Jane on Facebook said that after seeing this episode, she especially thinks that Outlander is not being shown in the UK because of the indie ref vote on September 18th. Mm. It is a brutal reminder of how Britain has long tried to wipe out the Scottish people and culture, and certainly may influence nationalist feeling right before the vote for independence. It makes me hope even more strongly that Scotland votes yes. So we're going to learn a lot more about all of this when we have our bonus episode this week, because sure, I kind of know what's going on, but I want to know more about it.
So hopefully we'll have that later on this week. I'll save all my feelings and everything about for that for the bonus episode. But Jane, I think you're right. I really do think you're right. They're not showing it in the UK specifically because of that vote.
If any of our listeners are from the UK, we would love to hear your opinion and what's going on. So shoot us an email, write us a comment on our website, outlandercast.com. Those do not have like limits, whereas Twitter has 140 characters, and I doubt you can tell us your personal opinion in that short of a time. Instagram, our Instagram friends, we love you. So much great feedback.
Gadkins8831 says, "This episode moved the story along significantly. We understand Dougal in a deeper way, and the Klansmen have a much different relationship with Claire than when the episode began.
It did. It evolved to more of a sisterly relationship.
Yeah, but, well, she ended up earning her place when she makes that joke to Rupert when she says, I think your left hand was more jealous than the right hand, or just jealous about the right hand.
That's when you want to go, zinga!
Yeah, like she gave us like a good burn, man. That was really good. And he's like, oh, I never heard a woman tell a joke before. So at that point, you start seeing her become one of them a little bit. So yeah, the relationship's totally different.
Heather Selberg says that Sam is cute and all, Sam being Jamie. But can we talk about the real star of this episode? Dougal. Graham McTavish is killing it. By far my favorite character and performance on a show filled with great characters and performances.
Yeah, I agree. Graham McTavish has nailed every single scene that he's been in. He is a character that has been fleshed out, has a lot of political and social undertones behind him. And he is also very complex. You know, he's doing things for his own purposes. He's got his own thing. Like, he's got his own problems that he's dealing with between Jamie, his brother. I'm sure he's very jealous of his brother. He's got this thing with Claire going on that he kind of hates her, but he trusts her and he needs her. He has got some stuff going on.
Enough of listening to Blake and my voices. Let's listen to our voicemails.
Hey, Mary and Blake. This is Emily Leyland from Connecticut, creator of the infamous, or I like to think so anyways, No Cheese, No Problem hashtag. You guys told me to call in, so here I am. Angus was a little touch and go for me this episode. You know, he's usually the comic relief, and that's why we love him, but this episode got a little bit more serious. But I think it's interesting to see that serious side, but in the end he brought it back and said, you know, nobody's allowed to make fun of Claire but us, and I think that's pretty cool of him. So yeah, I'm still hashtag no teeth, no problem. And of course this was an amazing episode and will continue to be an amazing week after week. So can't wait to see what next week has. You guys are doing great. Love the podcast. See you soon. Not really, but bye.
Emily, thanks for calling in, and thank you for that awesome hashtag, no teeth, no problem. I still love that so much. In regards to Angus, I'm still on the Angus train. I think he's cool. He's a very prideful man, and yet when you have Claire getting on him like that, that's going to be problematic for Claire and for anybody else that gets in his way. So, yeah, still cheer for Angus. I think he's still a good guy.
Hey, this is P.S. Caramel, or Peggy. If you like. Feedback. Well, I think I said a little too much on Twitter to give you actual feedback, except for the fact that I really like the show. And about 2/3 way through the first book, and as much as I wanted to say things on Twitter, I have not, because I know that Blake has not read the books. So, and I'm glad for the non-spoilers, because I would like to continue reading the books. They are entertaining so far. The show is phenomenal, and I love the cinematography. I have always wanted to go to Scotland, and now have a family friend who lives there, who met a man on the internet and married him and moved to Scotland, and she loves it there. And she told me on Facebook that she has come across some of the crew and such there in Scotland, which is very interesting. And I don't know what else to say, really. The show today was very interesting. I think that Dougal is kind of a schmuck, and he seems like really nice once in a while, and then he's got to turn around and be a jackass. And then you got Angus, who is absolutely hilarious, makes really funny faces, and kind of reminds me of my very delinquent, hilarious uncles. And I think that I'll grow to love him again, even though he was kind of brusque and rude on the episode today. I do enjoy his character very much, though. And Claire needs to learn to shut up, because she is giving herself away a little too quickly. And if she wants to not have people up in her business, then she really needs to keep her mouth quiet. I think that she needs to kind of become a little more acclimated with the guys that are surrounding her and be a little more aware of the things that she says and be aware of who really are her enemies around her and not suppose so much that she's just there and no one's paying attention to her, because I truly think that they are. And Jamie, Jamie's kind of a conundrum because he's, you know, he's into Claire and she's into him, and he's very much so, stubborn and bullheaded. But he's got that, you know, cute, quiet side that, you know, kind of comes along with red hair and pretty eyes, I guess. I think that your commentary is really cool, and I'm really digging the podcast, and I continue to look forward to more of the podcast and your interactions next Saturday. Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling in. And finally, someone has agreed with me about Claire not needing to talk any more. Oh my God, Claire, she was right. You're letting yourself out too soon. What's going on here? Come on, you're smarter than that, right? I feel like that you would be. I mean, God, I know I would be, but that's because I'm awesome. Well, again, thank you for calling in.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Carol from Franklin, Massachusetts, kind of down the road from you guys. First, I want to tell you I love listening to your podcasts, and I especially love Blake's Claire voice. It is wicked funny. It makes me laugh all the time. And I wanted to make a comment about everyone wanting to see more Jamie and Jamie, and I love Jamie, too. But when I read this first book about 3 months ago, somebody just told me, hey, this book is about time travel, you'll like it. So I got the book on my Kindle. I knew nothing about the story at all. And so at this point in the story, when I was reading it, I really didn't think Jamie is any more than just like a friend of Claire's. I knew he was younger, so I didn't think she was going to be interested in him. I mean, I didn't know that they were going to hook up. I hadn't read any of the hype. And so, you know, the pace of this and, you know, that Jamie's not in everything is kind of more true to the book. From my perspective of being completely unaware of the story, and, you know, to just keep throwing it in there with his shirt off or whatever, it makes him more of a beefcake and not a real developed character, you know, as he becomes later on. So, I was very much Team Frank, like, Blake is at this point when I was reading the book, because I understood she loved this guy, here she's in this place, and you know, the last thing I expected, maybe I was naive, was her and Jamie to get together eventually. So so I just want to say I get where Blake's coming from with his, you know, it's too much Jamie right now. Anyway, keep up the good work, you guys. I love your show, and thanks a lot. Bye.
Carol, all right, fellow New Englander. We need more New Englanders calling on this show. I think that's a great idea. Sorry, that's my son crying in the background. Thank you for calling in. And, yeah, I agree with you. You know, Team Jamie, God, can just be a little too much. And, yes, I love Frank very, very much. I think he's a good guy. He just knows what he's talking about. And he hasn't done anything to deserve any of the crap that he's going through right now. So, again, in terms of the story, it's good that Jamie is always not constantly around. We need to like have a little bit of a breather from Jamie, not just because I don't like him, or not that I don't like him, but it's just because not like, you know, I don't want to get sick of him. That's the problem. So thanks for calling in.
And last but certainly not least, here is this week's Tweet of the Week. It's by TV After Dark. And they said that the ladies doing the walking, you know, with the cloth or the piss pot, he said that these ladies are like the Scottish Pitch Perfect. So hopefully a lot of you get that pop culture reference, Pitch Perfect, the a cappella.
With Anna Kendrick. You know,
yes.
The cup song. Yeah. The cup song.
I'm a ticket for the long way home. That song. So he thinks that those Scottish ladies are doing that. So I love it. Nice job with the Tweet of the Week. Blake, what is your outlandish theory of the week, you poor non-book reader, you? What do you think is going to be happening?
I think that Claire is going to say, nope, I am not here on my own free will. I don't want to be with these people. I don't want to be with these Scotsmen. Take me back to wherever I got to go. Now, she was talking to all the piss ladies, and she was like, oh, hey, you know this place called Craignadoon? Where is it? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's 3 days away. Now, she knows that the British are near Craignadoon. She knows, because that's where she met up with Black Jack Randall, right? She knows that if she goes with the British, she can get out. She can get out of there. She's no longer underneath the Mackenzie's thumb. So she's going to say, nope, I'm not. I'm here, not on my own free will. By the end of this season, the first half of this season, she is going to be given an opportunity to get back to Craignadoon, and she's going to have an opportunity to go back. But what's going to happen? She is going to choose to stay in 1743. She's going to choose to stay with Jamie and the Mackenzies.
Wow, you got a couple of different outlandish theories in there.
And I think she's going to choose to stay with them so she can change history.
Ooh, so I like that.
Because she's fallen in love with these people around her. She's fallen in love. Well, she's decided that she really likes Jamie. And she's going to have an opportunity to leave, and she's going to stay.
What about Frank?
Frank's going to lose out. Hmm. Sorry, man. That's how it goes. And as much as I hate to admit that, that's what's going to happen.
All right. Well, thank you for your outlandish theory of the week.
That's right.
As we say all the time, we love listener feedback, and we would love to hear from you. We got a great review on iTunes recently from a fan in Canada. Whoa. M. Outlander fan said that a great after-show review of the Outlander series with a fun couple. The dear husband, Blake, who hasn't read the books before, is very intuitive. I like to hear a man's perspective on Diana Gabaldon's story. The dear wife, Mary, is an Outlander fan. I love her balance, viewpoint, and Harry Potter references. Well, I hope you liked them, because I put up a couple of them in this time for you. Have you left us a review, and do you not live in the United States? If so, Blake and I want to make sure that we see it. Please send us an email or tweet us, or just let us know what country you're in. When we go into iTunes and we look for ratings and reviews, we only get to see the country that we've selected. And we really don't have the time to go through every single country that exists. So if you have sent us a review and you're like, why haven't they read it yet? Just shoot us a message so that we know it's there. And in general, we want to hear from you in any way, shape, or form. So you can head on over to OutlanderCast.com, find us there, write some feedback that does not have to be 140 Twitter characters.
You can get us on Facebook at facebook.com/OutlanderCast.
Head on over to Twitter and Instagram. Our handle at both places is OutlanderCast.
How about the email machine? You can get us at OutlanderCast@gmail.com.
And don't forget to send in your voicemail feedback.
And my darling, what happens if they just can't get enough of Mary and Blake?
If you can't get enough of Blake and I, well, we have two other podcasts for you. One is all about The Leftovers show on HBO, which is having its season finale
tonight, like, as we record this.
Yes. So that podcast is called The Living Reminders, and we also have another podcast for all of you who are new parents, possibly thinking about being parents soon, or are pregnant. It's called Parent Cast. And if you'd like to stay with Outlander fans all week long, there are two podcasts that we'd like to recommend to you. The first one is simply called The Outlander Podcast, and it's with Summer and Ginger, two fantastic hosts who've been podcasting for about a year now, about Outlander. Check them out.
And then we also want to recommend The Scott and the Sassenach. Great podcast. Alistair and Lonnie are awesome people. Great podcast. They're just killer. I love them. So listen to them.
Well, thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen, for taking the time to listen to this week's episode of Outlander Cast. I'm Mary.
My name is Blake.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye, friends.